the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. This is your boy, Doom59. And of course, we are doing a tandem today, a duo, if you will, a tag team. Because Pooja is AWOL and trying to get his edumacation and shit. So, so I'm going to introduce my co-host for the evening, the man hailing for the West Side, West.
Yeah, yeah, a big hello from the state that is once again on fire.
Oh yeah, I heard about that wildfire shit. How many people did over 11 people died?
Yeah, that's what I heard. One was an old couple that was like 98 and 100.
Yeah.
That was
like,
sad.
Apparently they were married for like over 70 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was very sad to hear about that. There was multiple fires. I don't know if anybody seen the... Well, I guess it also happens in the comic books, but the Justice League trailer with the red sky. It's kind of a crisis thing where all the bad guys are fighting. That's kind of how it was on Monday when I went out. I was like... And I'm usually kind of farther away from this stuff, so I could... So I was actually smelling it in the house.
Yeah,
like, I walked in my brother's room.
People could, smell that shit.
Yeah, I went outside. There was some... ash and arrow, like, goddamn. Yeah, I didn't even know that day, so...
It's kind of crazy, because this happens, and I heard this was supposed to be, like, a movie coming out at some point about another wildfire that happened in California. You heard about that movie?
Yeah, I was wondering where it was set, because the movie trailer was crap, and I forgot about it.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be set in, it's supposed to be set in California.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, we usually have a wildfire season. I guess with the way the winds were happening, it just spread really badly this time. But, sounds like they got a lot of it under control, at least because I don't smell it right now. There's not as much ash because I barely felt any yesterday. So, at least the ones that are close by are getting cleaned up.
Yeah.
All right.
California, man. Y'all got some crazy shit. Like Weinstein in California.
I should have figured that one out because Rose McGowan has actually been sort of talking about him for... I knew she was talking about somebody, and I'm like, huh.
No, but people knew specifically for, like, years. Shit, I even knew that shit, and I'm not even a fucking insider, because it's like, what they call it, an open secret? Like, people have been, like, talking about this shit for, like, how long?
I forgot Seth MacFarlane actually almost said it on the fucking Golden Globes. Because I remember, I didn't, because they said, they pointed out that he made that joke at a Golden Globe some years ago.
I vaguely remember that. He made the joke at a, I think it was an Oscars nomination.
No, they said it was Golden Globes.
No, I could have sworn it was an Oscar nomination.
Maybe he did it both times, because they posted the Golden Globe clip today.
Because this one was, like, from, like 2012 or something like that.
Oh, well.
Yeah, from, like...
Either way, that is... Yeah. Like, I wonder everybody, the people who heard it, like, oh, shit. You gonna say something on national TV?
Well, like the time, one of the times he said it, like, everybody just started busting out laughing.
Yeah, I bet you half of those people were nervous laughing because they had a job still.
Right.
They're like, can we wait till I get my money, please? Well, we shouldn't be depressing the people with all this depressing-ass news. So let's get some wrestling out the way.
Wrestling.
All right, I got the Hell in a Cell card all right here for us to talk about. First up, we have the pre-show match. Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin defeated the Hype Bros in 10 minutes and 20 seconds.
Of course.
Did you catch the pre-show match?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. It is interesting because I saw someone say something. It's like, it's weird that you look at Shelton Benjamin now and he's bigger than a lot of guys, because when he came in, he was actually smaller than a lot of guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, next up, definitely on the list of at least the top 10 WWE matches of the year, if not top 5 WWE matches of the year as far as I'm concerned, the Usos defeated the New Day of Big E and Xavier Woods with Kofi Kingston outside in a brutal Hell in a Cell match in 22 minutes even.
Yo, that God. Was pure brutality, dude. Like, it was fantastic.
And the thing about it is, it, like, started out kind of hard, like, but they were, the New Day was still playing a little bit funny.
Yeah.
But then the brutality just kept building. It kept getting to the part where I'm like, we don't need this. And then it just got worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to get worse after they tried to trap Usos in the corner and they were mocking him there. But then they tied up Xavier Woods and just went in on him. I'm like,
yo, that was insane.
Yeah. I mean, I was almost uncomfortable at a moment with how much brutality these obviously not white wrestlers were taking at each other's hands. But I can't argue with the results of an excellent, excellent match.
Fantastic.
All right.
Shit.
Yeah. All right, so honest, the rest of the card paled in comparison until the main event, but there was still some pretty good stuff. I know you said you didn't watch this one. I did. Randy Orton defeated Rusev in 11 minutes and 40 seconds. I thought the match was actually good. I mean, I don't like the ending, but I thought of the encounters that they've had that I've seen, this was the best one. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I had to give it a star rating, maybe 2 3/4, maybe a 3. Now, this one I'm sure you watched. Baron Corbin defeated AJ Styles and Ty Dillinger, who was added to the match earlier that night in the triple threat match for the United States Championship at 19 minutes and 20 seconds. Thoughts?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought this one was dope.
This was a good match. They're still trying really hard for people to like or at least respond better to Baron Corbin. I thought he was fine. But, you know, any match with AJ Styles is usually at least the 3.5 stars. You gotta really tear AJ Styles down and do a match that's not that good. So, all right. Next up, we have Charlotte Flair defeating Natalya by disqualification. It was a match for the WWE Women's SmackDown title. It was 12 minutes and 15 seconds. Thought it was pretty good. Natalya was definitely outworking Charlotte Flair for most of the match. Charlotte was doing a great job with the leg,
mm-hmm.
and then Natalya just got angry and started beating her with the chair, which I was fine with, because I've been criticizing some of the WWE women for not really coming off as angry or bitter or pissed off, and Natalya does a pretty good job of doing that, so I thought it was effective. Any thoughts?
Yeah, that was alright.
Alright, and in the match that one person on Twitter said, that's the definition of killing a town, Jinder Mahal with the Singh Brothers defeated Nakamura in 12 minutes and 10 seconds to retain the WWE Championship. Very disappointing.
Yeah. But I see it. I see why they did it.
No. Yeah, but at this rate, you're going to be wondering if the ratings in India are worth it, because the ratings here aren't.
Nope.
But I guess, you know, bot package, so they don't, well, at least the people running the networks don't care. But in our buffer match, which this match I forgot was happening until, like, around the time of the title match, I was like, oh, shit, there's one more match here. And that was Bobby Roode defeated Dolph Ziggler in minutes and 35 seconds in a match where the crowd was spent. The previous match didn't help them. This match was whatever, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's whatever.
Any thoughts on Ziggler cutting out him just walking without music?
I think it's interesting. I think it's a little interesting. I don't know.
Yep.
The match is okay.
And in the main event, which I think we can all agree, well, depending on who you are, was either the second or first best match of the show, was a Falls Count Anywhere Hell in a Cell match where Kevin Owens predictably defeated Shane McMahon in a match in 39 minutes, and featured a lot of me going, is somebody going to die today? Please don't let anyone die today.
Yeah.
That extended, I don't know how long they were there, but that extended sequence on top of the cage.
Yes.
Was one of the most fucking frustrating things I've ever witnessed as a wrestling fan.
You think it was frustrating? I don't want to say frustrating. Frustrating is not the emotion I would describe it. It was more anxiety because I was afraid that somebody was actually going to...
More exasperating, maybe? I don't know. But yeah, anxiety-inducing. Okay. Very worrying. Oh my god. And the attempt to do the fucking pop-up powerbomb on top of the cage, I was just like, no.
Yeah, that shit was insane.
I said it a few weeks ago that Shane McMahon was going to try to make a case for Wrestler of the Year by having two close to five-star matches. And yeah. I maintain that if you had to do just match average, his shit would have to be like right now, 4.5, 4.75 just for these two matches.
Yeah.
He arguably had the best match at WrestleMania with AJ Styles. I mean, this guy's in his 40s doing a fucking shooting star press and Missy. He did that shit like in 12 minutes. I was like, dude, is this match going short? And it did it. Obviously, the ending, Sami Zayn saved his friend Kevin Owens. And they did really great the way they did the first camera angle. You're like, oh, Owens got out of the way, but then they did the replay 100 times afterwards. Yes. Holy shit, it's insane.
Yes, I did not see that coming. I honestly thought he got up. I honestly thought he just got up.
Yeah. So, that was an amazing match. So, realistically, this was still only a two-card show that just happened to have a really good triple threat match and a really good pre-show match and a good women's match. I don't think it was as good as the previous No Mercy.
Yeah, No Mercy, yeah. That was the previous, like, really dope pay-per-view.
Which I think I gave a 9 out of 10 for, so this is like 7.5 or an 8.
Yeah, I'd say
one lower.
I'd give it about a 7.5.
Yeah. So overall, Hell in a Cell, pretty good, and it was from Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, woo-hoo! I think that's the new one. That's the new arena, because they closed the old arena down.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, because they closed the old arena down, because apparently they had a WWE live event at the old arena, and that was the last event they ever had, period. Ever. Like, so WWE were the last ones to perform there. And then, so now they got this Little Caesars shit.
Yeah. I should know that Detroit is probably a wrestling city, but for some reason I never think of it as a wrestling city.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
When you think about wrestling cities in that general area, you think Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because Chicago... New York, Philly, L.A. I guess Baltimore is a pretty good wrestling town, too.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, somebody in wrestling listed Baltimore as... because somebody said that's one of the more reliable places. When it comes to wrestling, Baltimore is usually one of the most reliable places. Baltimore, New York, Philly...
Obviously, Memphis, they have a long history there.
Yeah.
It's not too much stuff in the middle of America as far as wrestling things. And when you get to the coast, outside of parts of California, I guess Seattle is okay. For people who care about attendance crap, there was apparently the attendance, I guess, was about 16,206. Uh-huh. So that is Hell in a Cell. And you're gonna go through some Raw and SmackDown stuff before we get to New Japan King of Pro Wrestling and the much news that we have.
All right, let's get it. Okay, Raw happened. Shield reunited. started beating people up. They beat up The Bar, Miz, Curtis Axel. They eventually beat up Braun Strowman and put him through a table after he beat up Matt Hardy. Other things happened. Sister Abigail appeared, which ended up being Bray Wyatt with like some type of like weird like CG like silhouette thing, like holographic shit over himself. I don't know what that was, but they had the voice modulation, so it was like his voice, but also a woman's voice over top of his voice. Whatever. See how that goes.
I didn't follow much of the spoilers when that and SmackDown were going on, so yeah. I saw a brief clip, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I heard they might be doing. That sucks.
Yeah. And also, Emma, she won the Fatal 5-Way elimination to be the one to face Asuka at TLC. So she beat up Sasha and Bayley for that, for the chance to take her out. So she's going to get fed to Asuka, basically, but they're going to make sure it's a good match.
Yeah. I'm sorry, if I was in the thing, it's like, do you want to fight for a chance to lose to Asuka? Like, hell no! I ain't trying to get my head kicked in.
Yeah.
These bitches want to fight. I apologize for the bitches. I'm doing this as if I was a wrestler.
But, oh yeah, and besides that, Kurt Angle announced that the Shield will be competing at TLC against Miz and The Bar, but also did one more guy because Miz, I think he talked him into including one other guy based on what the Shield had stated earlier. So Braun Strowman got added to Miz's team. So it's a 3-4 match at TLC.
I wouldn't be asking for Braun Strowman on my team because Braun Strowman doesn't have team. See himself.
Yeah.
He's gonna hurt everybody.
Yeah. And then after that, Kalisto faced Enzo Amore, and new Cruiserweight champion. After Enzo has been champ for, like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, and we'll have news about details about this in a little later in the show.
Crazy shit, yeah. So, but Kalisto ended up winning in the Lumberjack match, basically with the help of Mustafa Ali, because of what happened earlier in the match. Mustafa Ali interfered in Enzo's pin, which gave Kalisto the upper hand to hit Salida del Sol off the top rope, and he's champion, and he won the champion on Eddie Guerrero's birthday, so that's a nice little touch. I think it's it's funny because the news, because like without the news you would have expected it, like him winning made like perfect sense. You know?
Sorry, man. I looked away for a second because some breaking WWE news just happened. I'm like, holy shit. So, can you repeat that?
No, I was saying that, like...
About the Enzo Kalisto match?
Yeah, with news. Without the news that we're about to talk about with what was supposed to happen, you would think this Kalisto win was definitely planned. Just
Because they, right? I mean, I figured Kalisto was going to win the title. Yeah. I didn't think it would be that quick, but I knew it was going to happen. So when it happened, I was like, okay, makes sense.
Especially when you realized, what day was. Yeah.
And then they told you why. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I added the breaking news to my thing, so that's a big maybe not that big, but it's on there, too, when we get to it.
So after that, SmackDown happened. Usos cut like a dope promo as usual and brought up the New Day. They ended up having a truce, a temporary truce, a Us truce. So they're not beefing for a little while. But the other tag teams came out and they staked their claim to be contenders. And Daniel Bryan had announced that there would be a four-way tag match to determine number one against, and Shelton and Chad ended up winning that one. Of course, Zack Ryder and Mojo were arguing all the whole time, doing dumb shit and whatever.
Okay. So either they're going to break up or they're going pure heel. That's basically the option.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, Usos laid into all those tag teams. It was funny as shit. Before the match even started. But after that, Carmella faced Becky Lynch in a match. Of course, Becky Lynch ended up winning that.
Apparently, I found out she doesn't like fish. I don't know how you can go your most of your life without eating fish. But Becky Lynch, she said she never had fish until like a few days ago, and she knows it's. She now has confirmation it's terrible. I'm like, you know what? Fuck
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, like, that I mean, I don't know what they eat in Ireland. I assume they had fish.
What?
Yeah. How do you go that long without eating it ever?
She probably ate a lot of, like, potatoes and corned beef. I'm joking.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, that is a very Italian type, but, yeah. Not Italian, Irish.
Irish, yeah.
Yeah. I was, as a man who likes salmon and shrimp and some, occasionally catfish and some sushi, like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, but man, still, I thought that was weird.
God, I gotta go back to the sushi bar I went to. I remember there was this one in Towson that had, like, the rotating... You know the ones that had, like, the rotating, things? Yeah.
Anime movies.
Yeah, the conveyor belt shit. Yeah, that shit was dope. Had, like, some good amount of plates of those. Fantastic. And some sake. But I don't drink anymore, so I can't do this. But anyway, after that, Kevin Owens came out and talked about how you sent Shane McMahon to hell and how SmackDown is now Kevin's heaven. Of course, the Kevin Owens show. And then he introduced his friend, Sami Zayn. Sami came out happy as a motherfucker and basically explained the reason why he did it. And basically, he did it as I expected. Why? Because Shane McMahon basically, like, fed him a bunch of bullshit, and he never got any opportunity. So, basically, Shane had talked him into moving to SmackDown, and that was the last he talked to Shane, like, in a real one-on-one basis, until right before Hell in a Cell, where Shane decided to blow him off. And the reason he decided to save Kevin is because Shane had Kevin beat. Like, he had him beat after Kevin fell and hit through and crashed through the first table. He had him beat. He could have pinned him, and that would have been it. But Shane wanted to be a superstar or whatever and climb up and attempt a leap, and then that's what set Sami off. So
he couldn't just end the match. He had to flip. I get it.
Yeah,
it's like I stayed out of it, but then you.
Yeah, and he didn't want his quote unquote brother to get killed, basically. So that was his reasoning. They hugged it out and shit. And one thing to note though, like the crowds for Raw and SmackDown were fucking dead. Even when they had hot shit going down, like dope shit, like the Shield reunion. The crowd was kind of dead for that. This Sami shit, the crowd was fucking dead for that. Yeah, they were just fucking dead, period. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
They still in Detroit?
I don't know. But those crowds were fucking dead. Like, it was like... man.
maybe their football team left and they were all sad.
SmackDown was in Grand Rapids. So that might have been it.
Yeah. No one cares about Grand Rapids. Well, actually, I guess more people care about Grand Rapids because they're not, like, bankrupt. But right. I don't think of them as a wrestling town, that part of Michigan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that happened. There was a tag match I didn't give a shit about.
Bobby
was that the one with Rusev and English?
Yeah.
Losing.
Yeah, Bobby Roode called out Dolph, and they'll have a match next week.
I didn't realize Dolph's hair was that pretty. Yeah.
Long and pretty. And then after that, they had the main event, which was Styles versus Corbin, which was a pretty good match that Corbin ended up winning. He ended up taking the mic and cut a promo. I think, no, he didn't cut a promo. It was Renee doing the interview. But he basically talked about, like, how everybody could shove it, blah, 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 and whatever. After that, 205 Live happened. They had, what was the match? It was... There was a 2 out of 3 falls.
Oh, the Rich Swan Tegan?
Yeah, 2 out of 3 falls match. That one was actually pretty good.
Yeah, there was a bit on Twitter. Swan retweeted the cartwheel into the Phoenix Star Phoenix Splash.
That shit was sick.
He said something about it, and then Chuck Taylor replied to him, and he just said, "Classic ruckus," and I'm like, God damn you, Chuck Taylor.
Classic ruckus.
Because this goes back to that joke during, I think a little bit to when Chuck Taylor was doing the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
And Rich Swann ended up not having the title, and someone, another black wrestler did, I think it was Amasis. And then Rich Swann was like, so what, all black people are the same? And Chuck Taylor ran off scared. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Yeah, so what ended up happening in that 2 out of 3 falls? Rich Swann ended up winning that 2-0. It didn't even go to distance. He like just straight up beat him, flat out.
Yeah, which is a surprise. You usually have either the other guy usually gets at least one.
Yeah, it just didn't happen.
But you know, I'm fine with Rich Swann can sweep.
Yeah,
and then, it's Rich Swann. The guy deserves great things.
Yeah. Then after that, it was supposed to be Akira Tozawa and Gulak, but that didn't happen because Gulak attacked him in the back with his sign.
Yeah, I heard Tozawa was injured, so this was just to get him off of television, maybe?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then after that,
but it shows you the faith they have in Gulak as a heel to do it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Gulak. I like Gulak. I like him a lot.
I mean, he is doing a toned down version of a CZW skit, yeah. But it works for him.
Yeah. And then after that, Mustafa Ali and Kalisto faced Enzo and Aria Davari. Mustafa and Kalisto ended up winning that match. And of course, Davari was the one who ate the pin. And that was 205 Live.
All right. There's a lot of stuff that happened on those shows, but of course, because WWE has a lot of fucking shows.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to do right now New Japan King of Pro Wrestling, which was from Toko at the Sumo Hall. And apparently, for people who care about attendance, they just did over 9,000, which was a little down from last year, but they didn't have the superstar main event going on, but still a really good coming out. So this is what we got. We had Los Ingobernables de Japón of Sonata, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi taking on, or actually defeated the Bullet Club of Bad Luck Fale, Leo Tonga, and Yujiro Takahashi, not related to Hiromu. And those two actually had a pretty good back and forth bit too. The match ended when it looked like Fale was going for the Bad Luck Fall on Bushi. But Hiromu rushed in with Daryl and distracted Fale, dropped Bushi, and was going to try to attack Hiromu. Bushi hit the mist and actually rolled up the big man for the pin. So Bushi pinned a fucking heavyweight in a tag team match. So that doesn't really happen often, especially when you have a fall guy like Leo Tonga on the match. So, hot opener. Then we had the Chaos team of Hirooki Goto and Toru Yano defeating Suzuki Goons, Minoru Suzuki, and Zack Sabre Jr. They beat them in 9 minutes, 18 seconds. Minoru Suzuki and Zack
spent a lot of the match working over Yano with just ugly-looking submission moves. I expect these two guys to end up teaming together at the tag league, but we'll find out for sure later. But yeah, Yano ended up getting the count-out victory by tricking Suzuki. Next match, we had the debut in Roppongi 3K.
Yes.
Sho and Yo, the former Tempura Boys, looking like some K-pop star, defeated Funky Future. Excellent match, went just under 15 minutes.
Yep.
Great match. They're the new junior heavyweight tag team. Their look, though, with the shiny pants, they look like idols, so. But, you know, very cool, very cool. So Chaos, I think, is almost the same size as Bullet Club now with how many wrestlers they got.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we had the fourth of these annoying three-way matches. This one was a tornado elimination. Killer Elite Squad retained the tag team titles by Guerrillas of Destiny and War Machine in just over 16 minutes. It was a pretty good match. Next up, we had the... They refer to themselves as the luxury trio of the Bullet Club. Cody, Kenny Omega, and Marty Scurll defeated Chaos C Team, Beretta, and Yoshihashi. Well, Jado's a D. By himself, he's D Team, so there's that. And Beretta's only C Team right now because he just turned heavyweight, so he'll be B Team soon enough. But pretty good match. It was mostly comedy. Came in 13 minutes, 42 seconds. Next up, we had Juice Robinson and Kota Ibushi defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi and Togi Makabe, 10 minutes, 26 seconds. Juice Robinson scored the pin on Makabe, former champion. That is a usually protected guy, so Robinson pulling the victory on Makabe is pretty big news. The continued elevation of Robinson, even though he doesn't have anything at the next set of shows so far. Then we have another title match, and our arguably best match of the show. Will Ospreay finally did it in his fourth time, third time in New Japan, wrestling Kushida. He finally beat him, and he achieved the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion in 15 minutes, 32 seconds. First British-born wrestler to be the Junior Champion. Excellent match. I like their battle of the Super Juniors finals a little better than this, but this was still great. After it, it looked like Hiromu was going to do the challenge only for a Marty Scurll to sneak up on him and do the finger break and challenge Ospreay for the title. Next up, for the contract, Tetsuya Naito finally defeated Tomohiro Ishii. This was their third match this year. Of course Naito was going to win, because of course he was going to go to number 12, but this was a great match. Came in 23 minutes and 56 seconds. And in the main event, even though we kind of all knew how it would go, it was still really good. Okada successfully defended the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Evil at 33 minutes, 26 seconds. But props to Evil for main eventing his first major pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And he's main evented shows before, but this was major. This was one of their big pay-per-views of the year. They gave the hype video was great. They gave him a dope-ass fucking entrance.
Yes. You know,
for yeah. I mean, everybody was putting their money on Sonata as the guy, but it is clearly right now Evil. He's got the look. He's a New Japan product. He's still relatively early, young, as he's 30 years old. He's only been wrestling 2 or 3 years. He's got a really good. He definitely had a final boss feel to him, and I swear to God, in a few more years, he's going to be even better. So, great event. Good on Evil. And I want to point out, they redid a spot from... they did a version of the spot from their G1 match, which I liked a little bit better. If you remember when... Okada had him over the guardrail, and he was going to do the running dive to him,
and
but
he
just threw the chair in his face.
And he had to duck.
Yeah, this time he ducked and hit it. It was a great callback. They even did, Evil had did this twice when he did the, the Darkness Falls driver onto the pile chairs.
Yeah.
But this time Okada hit him with the Hurricanrana reversal. So the story of this match was that Okada adapted to what Evil was going to do and was prepared for him all throughout. Great match. At the end of the thing, Okada was cutting his promo. Naito interrupted him, but Okada pretty much told him to buzz off to let him finish. Official, it is going to be Okada, Naito, Wrestle Kingdom 12 main event. the real main event this time. They're not going to get the fan vote to screw Naito out of the main event. So this is finally the story. It's taken him 4 years, but he's finally got his fucking main Wrestle Kingdom main event.
Yeah.
All right. Since we got this up, let me do the New Japan news real quick. All right, here we go. So Power Struggle is up next. So this is what we know. They have the Junior Tag Tournament going on. It's I don't know why it's stretched out as it is, but they have some interesting teams. On the 23rd of October, the first two matches are happening, as Roppongi 3K will be taking on Kushida, and Young Lion Hirai Kawota will be teaming up with Kushida. So that's pretty cool. Then we got Los Ingobles Juniors Bushi and Hiromu will be taking on Tatan and Dragon Lee. So they're bringing over the CMLL guys for that. On the 30th, we have two Suzuki Gun Junior teams. Kanemaru and Desperado will be taking on Liger and Tiger, while Taichi and Taka will be taking on Taguchi and his newest tag team partner. You want to take a guess who this one is? I'll give you a hint. If you had to replace Ricochet with another junior, who are you going to replace him with?
ACH?
Yes. Super ACH is coming in to team with Taguchi.
Nice.
So, that's... That one's on the 29th. Those shows will be on New Japan World. The semis will be the day after the 30th. And then the finals at Power Struggle, which will feature Suzuki and Toru Yano. But this match is going to be a gimmick match because apparently it's going to be a bull rope dash.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's a interesting little twist. Ospreay defending his newly won junior title against Marty Scurll. And then the main event... Kota Ibushi versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. So Power Struggle sounding pretty good. And before on the 20th, and I'm bringing this up because even though it's not an important show, it has a certain main event. It is the main event of that show is Yuji Nagata versus Manabu Nakanishi because it's both of their 25th anniversaries as wrestlers. So even though the rest of the show looks pretty much whatever for a Road 2 show, Nagata and Nakanishi actually had a really good singles match last year, and this being their 25th anniversary, they might have a pretty good show this year, match this year. So let's point that out. So that's the New Japan news, and I guess it's time to get into the other news. So
news.
I'm going to start that first with WWE news, because all the other stuff I have is WWE news. There was a promotion coming up in Canada called Canuck Pro, and yes, it appears to have been a scam.
Yes.
It started to come to light when Elgin mentioned he had not been able to get in contact with the owners. He tried to talk to the Christ brothers, O4K, and I think Dave Chris said he couldn't get in contact with them either, and some other wrestlers were trying to find out what was happening, but nope. So, yeah, indie wrestling shit going on. And that is all I have for non-WWE news, so let's get to some WWE news. NXT announced War Games!
Yeah, War Games.
Do you have the names of the teams? I know the six, was it the Big Six, not Six Men, the Trios match. What was it? Undisputed, Sanity, and Roderick Strong and Payne, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have more, but that was a very interesting announcement, so that might be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we have, if you watch New Japan, you notice, like I said, Ricochet won half of the Junior Tag Champs, Lutz, and it is now being reported that he is preparing to be headed to the WWE. He's taken most of November off. Apparently, he's said he's finishing up with PWG. He just won Bola a little while ago. So, technically speaking, I guess, because I haven't been watching Lucha Underground lately, I guess they are doing their Ultimo Lucha Trace right now.
Yeah.
So, you should be ready maybe just after the Royal Rumble or at the time of the Royal Rumble. So, congratulations to Ricochet if this is true, which we will know if it's true sooner or later. The big news Well, actually, let me get to the breaking WWE news before I get to the big news. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Jacobs has apparently been WWE.
No way.
This has to do with the fact he actually took a picture with his friends, the Young Bucks, when they came down for their Bullet Club invasion.
No way.
That is the news going on right now. Let me see if there's an update, because this was breaking at when you were talking about the Enzo match. But yeah.
Like you know WWE was pissed when using the sus shit, like, happened. So you know anybody, like, fooling around with the Young Bucks would get it. God damn.
Even though a lot of those guys actually talk to the Young Bucks on Twitter. I guess you can't talk to them, you know. And, I mean, he didn't appear on the Elite. All he did was take a picture with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer, just 15 minutes ago, just came out to say, just let everyone know, the Jimmy Jacobs story is accurate about him not being with WWE. The reason listed by PW Sheet is 100% on the money.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And apparently, this is really weird, because apparently he's the guy who pushed the Jericho, the list of Jericho.
Yeah,
actually.
They said that he came up with that. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what Jericho said.
He gave him one of the, yeah. So, I hate to say it, because I mean, I like the Bullet Club to accept, but that invasion did more harm than good.
It did.
But I mean, I think they made a lot of money off the new cease and desist shirt, sure, but that's just not cool.
Yeah. They're burning any type of, like, possible bridge that could be available in the future. I don't know. But Young Bucks are still going to make money. I think they got new Funko Pop figures that's going to debut. Like, not those crappy customs that people have been making for, like, a few years now, but, like, real shits. I think they signed a contract for it. So they got their likeness and everything ready to go for it. So they're making a whole bunch of their paper on their own, so I guess they can be the greatest people that never signed to WWE or some shit or whatever.
Yeah. Still, yeah, shit from WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid fucking WWE.
Personally, I think they were asking for it.
Alright, and big WWE news that happened. Neville requested his release. The story goes that he came into Raw. They told him what was going to go down. That they wanted him to lose to Enzo in the main event in the Lumberjack match, and he was like, fuck this. So, I guess he was feeling frustration because now that Enzo, who is, let's be honest, not a good wrestler, has been part of 205 Live, they've been working harder to promote 205 Live, and they've been having Enzo close out a number of the segments on Raw. When he's not that good, but he's a, you know, good talker. I guess Neville felt that, you know, he worked really hard to help make 205 Live a better show, but this guy better than him. They got him doing all these pre-show shits, but, and they're not letting him close out Raw, so what's the point? So, yeah, apparently, and so they rewrote the ending. Kalisto won the title in the Lumberjack match at the night, but yeah. Neville requested release, so Neville and Jimmy Jacobs possibly returning to the indie scene.
Yo, Jimmy Jacobs is going to be, like, a manager for, like, the Bullet Club Watch.
Yeah. I think it would be a... Yeah, I don't know what Jimmy... I mean, Jimmy Jacobs is a talented wrestler, but he's also very small, and he's getting up there in age. It's kind of, I think, right. Manager position would be the best thing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what Neville, I don't know what's going to go on with Neville. I mean, obviously, Bullet Club heard it, and they're already teasing, but
I hope he doesn't join the Bullet Club. Like,
it would be, they have any guys, and they don't need him. It would be, if he does show up to New Japan, I think it would be better for, I mean, Chaos is actually too big. I think they should add a white dude to fucking Los Ingobernables, and Neville's good enough that they can even it out with the heavyweights.
Right.
Play a heel. I mean, he's not. He doesn't have the prettiness that the other guys have, but I think he would fit to a degree. I wouldn't want to see him in the Bullet Club, but I do see him as a good heel. Because he's proven to be a much better heel.
Did you hear about that shot that Roman Reigns took to... I guess it was mostly directed at the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I saw that. It was interesting.
Yeah. But I want to say he's right. I don't know. See, I think I'm not taking away any about the talent of, like, the people in the group. It's just their antics are just annoying to me. That's my thing.
I mean, I don't disagree. Bullet Club is very much in a interesting spot as the representatives of New Japan in a lot of ways. But as far as factions go, I mean, they're more or less tied for my second favorite faction in New Japan.
See,
I don't consider Japan as a real faction. Yeah. If I do, then they're tied for third.
I don't know. Like, I just enjoyed the era with, like... I enjoyed early Bullet Club. I enjoyed Bullet Club with AJ as the ace. Even the time where AJ was the ace and Young Bucks were around, like, Young Bucks were more trouble to me. But once Kenny Omega got into the mix, it was okay for a while, then Cody got into the mix, and then it got intolerable to me.
Marty Scurll, too.
And then Marty Scurll. Yeah, that made it even worse. So, like, nowadays, they feel like a parody act, like, period. They're Bullet Club parodying Bullet Club. Parodying Dex, The Click, NWO. You know? It's weird. The way it is now. Because it's like they're a parody of a parody. Of a parody. That's the way it feels like to me. When it comes to their antics and all that shit. I don't know. That's just me.
I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, it is very... a lot of problems being able to market themselves and make money, but I'm not super invested in the American contingent of Bullet Club. I mean, I still think everybody's
That's the most vocal, like, component of it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the loudest component of it, that American contingent, you know?
Yeah. I definitely prefer how they handle themselves in Japan with G.D., Yujiro, Fale, even Kenny. And Chase Owens. Props to Chase Owens going out there and doing the job, but, you know, getting his money too.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, if I count Taguchi Japan, Bullet Club is sort of tied with Chaos at my third favorite spot, because I like Los Ingobernables the best.
Yeah, me too.
But Taguchi Japan is fine if you count them, because they're not really a stable. It's Taguchi and his buddies. Essentially, that's all it is.
Right.
And, you know, Taguchi, even though his matches sometimes all look the same, he's just very amusing. And it's always cool to see him and some of the other guys he works with break out, for the other guys to break out a comedy move every once in a while and kind of get out of their own skin and be a little less serious. Well, yeah, and I love that new spot that Taguchi, I don't know how new, but Taguchi does, where sometimes the two guys kind of charge at him with a move, like the double shoulder block, but then he just kind of turns to his side and straightens up, and they just run past him.
Right. Oh, yeah, I saw that one on King of Pro Wrestling. That was good.
Yeah, it's such a cartoon spot, but it's so fucking clever. It's like, yeah, I very much appreciate that. I mean, I still think Suzuki Gunn's the worst with a lot of their crap, but
Yeah.
And Chaos is a faction that feels just like a bunch of different spots, and the guys get together to do the multi-mans. Because they don't really seem to have a focus other than...
It's not cohesive.
You know, Kata's the guy. Yeah. But, no disagreements. They can be incredibly annoying. Of course, there's going to be a lot of bullet happening in this starting tomorrow from when they do the Ring of Honor shows from, what's it, Buffalo? And then I think on Monday we'll be hitting, the one-hour tea shop opening. So you will be getting a lot of stuff from the Bullet Club this weekend.
Hold on, they have a shop opening?
Into that. What's up?
They have a shop, you say?
One, Pro Wrestling Tees opened up a shop in Chicago.
Oh, like a physical shop.
Yes.
So it's a pop-up shop.
So, no, it's a real store. It's going to be there.
No, like, it's still a pop-up shop. Hold up, is it permanent?
It's permanent.
Oh, shit, really, huh.
Yep, let me see if I can get the details of the store, because they've been showing pictures of it, but as far as I can figure out, it seems like, because that's why they were going to have the wrestlers there as a promotion tool. Yeah.
One thing we didn't mention for New Japan, the fucking Switchblade promo thing. The video.
Honestly, I keep forgetting because I fast forward the intermissions. Yeah. I guess that happens at Power Struggle.
Yeah.
And rumors are that it's either Sami Callihan or Jay White.
Huh.
I don't know what to think. I'm strongly indifferent to Sami Callihan. I don't necessarily dislike him, but he's not a favorite wrestler. Okay, I'm looking at the store. Yeah, this is a real store. They have it on top of the store. Yeah. But, so I don't know about Sami Callihan. Jay White, maybe, but he's right now in the, he's very much entrenched in the Search and Destroy stable in, Ring of Honor. Okay, so this is what it is. It's Pro Wrestling Tees is part of 1 Hour Tees. 1 Hour Tees has a store, and I guess they bought the location right next to them, which is specifically Pro Wrestling Tees. So it's okay. That's what it is. All right, and it's in Chicago. Here are the store hours. No, it's not opened. The store itself is not open to all the time, just Fridays through Mondays. So, yeah.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess they don't really need to have it open all the time. So, what news do you have?
One thing. WWE stock this year has apparently gone up 28%.
28. Why?
I don't know. They've been doing well, apparently. Shit. So, good on WWE. Even last year, their stock prices went up, like, in the teens, I think. So, like, it may seem that everything is not that good when it comes to attendance and, like, TV ratings, but they're actually still making pretty good money, apparently. One thing that is not good for them, though, is that, I think they're starting to slowly phase out their Blu-ray releases. Because a lot of their Blu-ray releases haven't been selling well at all. They even had to cancel a recent one that was like Attitude Era type thing.
So
it looks like they're going to phase that shit out at some point. Unless they're going to do less frequently. Like when they have to put out a Blu-ray, it's gonna be something that's gonna be big, and not like one of those like anthology type things or whatever.
I guess it's kind of a struggle because some people, you know, because Blu-ray play DVDs still, so
right.
Some people don't like to have to keep switching. You know, they might have bought a Blu-ray player, but who cares if it's Blu-ray or DVD? Get the cheaper version if you want,
yeah.
And then the interview stuff is usually the network anyway. The network, so
yeah, yeah. People, it's I think most times people just want to just watch episodes of old episodes of Raw or like WWE 24 or some doc that's on there.
Yeah. So I mean, kind of did it to themselves. It's not like regular, you know, movies and TV where you're not sure which streaming channel has it, if right. they have it at all.
Right. Right, right, right. Then what else? This past Thursday, past Thursday, WWE and IGN teamed up for their eSports Showdown. Of course, it was the brainchild of Xavier Woods. And it was interesting. It had AJ Styles, it had Kofi, it had Cesaro, it had Xavier Woods, it had Bayley and Sasha was there. Who else was there? Who else was because yeah, Kofi, Cesaro, AJ. There was one other guy that was part of it that I completely forgot. Was a part of it, but who cares? Whatever. But I think what ended up happening, Sasha and Bayley faced each other in a tag team match for it, and it was all Street Fighter. Not Street Fighter. It was a Capcom Marvel vs. Infinite shit. So they had Sasha and Bayley form a tag team with two professional video game fighting game guys, and Bayley ended up winning that that match. And then they had a knee tournament, which ended up having Kofi Kingston winning, so he is champion of that. And there was this Greg Miller beefing with Xavier Woods, but it was a pretty entertaining event. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. The matches, some of the matches that were going down were like blowouts for the most part, but like there were others that were like really, really close. Like they had some with Cesaro and Xavier that was like super, super close. And then of course at the Kofi and Xavier had some really close ones too, so that was pretty dope. Xavier should be proud of himself because it was a good event. Hopefully he could build on it down the line if he can get more superstars to actually play it. Or I know not every superstar is a gamer, but they could at least try, I guess. I don't know, but yeah, that was that. In other WWE-type news, apparently Lita had stated that WWE may have a women's tag title in the works.
What I've been complaining about for years now.
Yeah, so that's a thing, man. So I'm hoping it works, because I think that will have like a lot of women that are like stuck in limbo have something to do. Like something to aim for, and I just feel good. Like women's tag team have the tandem offense and all that shit like that. Because I don't see that ever.
The problem is that, and there have been women who've realized in tag team wrestling, especially in Japan, obviously.
Yeah.
One of my when I first got into YouTube, I remember watching a video for Ayoko Hamada and a woman, I think her name was it was something with an A, and they were teaming up against LCO, which were two were like last generation All Japan women, and these women, they had moves, and they clearly came off as just being almost like ECW response, because they were hitting chairs, they were hitting double team moves, they were brutal as fuck. But I mean, especially like all old school All Japan women, because they would do like what was that move? Something similar to what's the War Machine's finisher? The Fallout thing. Yeah, I've seen women as a tandem. Now in Shimmer, they sort of had it because I think Angelina Love, maybe. It might have been Angelina. It might have been Velvet Sky. One of those. Used to be part of one of the women known from Team Knockout Impact, whatever. Used to be part of a crew called, I believe, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, which were a tag team. And they had... Then you had, like, the Canadian Ninjas of Nicole Matthews and Portia Perez. So they exist. It's just, you know, there's no tag divisions outside, really. So they all kind of had to adapt to learn singles wrestling, which is kind of stupid because wrestling as a tag team, I think, also is a great way to achieve experience without burning out as quick.
Right.
And you get to learn, I think, especially with tag team wrestling, timing is an incredibly important aspect of that. You can you have to be able to get into there and stop the pin or, you know, get your spot really well. So it's a great learning tool, and I think that adding a tag division will only improve the product, really, as long as they do it right. And I think they can. So, but yeah, if you can find it, there are some great women's tag team matches from All Japan Women back in the day. They're like, especially the ones with any of the brutal women, like Aja Kong or Bull Nakano in them. Most of them had a few tandem moves. Some of them didn't, but still beat the shit out of each other. So good matches. Good matches.
Yeah. And what else? And more WWE type related stuff. PWI actually asked if Netflix's increase in price by $1 would influence WWE to increase the price of the WWE network.
Yeah.
That could be a possibility. If WWE is really thinking about this premium content thing that they've been like teasing for like a good part of like the year, I don't think they'll probably increase it, but they'll just introduce that shit. But I wonder how much the pricing would change with like a premium deal. Like, would it be like $5 extra or $10?
What the fuck is premium content? I need to know what the premium content is before we start talking pricing.
They're still trying to figure it out, though. That's why they've had these surveys for like the past like. Like how many times now? Because we've talked about these surveys they've had, so we don't know. So like like you said, it all depends on the content, especially for me. Because like I don't know if they try, like flip it and say like, yeah, you got to get premium to access certain pay per views, like current pay per views, that would be some bullshit.
But, yeah.
Like, but like if it's the same deal plus just like some extra stuff, put on the extra shit, either way I'd stick with the regular plan.
Yeah, it's weird too. It's like if they're gonna offer certain companies, who's gonna be available and how will that work? Because like Evolve seems like it would make sense, but you got guys from Evolve working for New Japan or shit. Like, does that mean they can't work Evolve anymore or they can't work New Japan? Are you going to pick up Chikara? Because Chikara is they're bringing in Moose for a fucking show coming up, and he's in TNA or Impact or GFW or whatever the fuck they're called. How does that work with contract when us who work for companies on television, but, you know, maybe not exclusive? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't fucking know. But we will see. We will see. And you mentioned Evolve, so I might as well talk more about that type of stuff. WWE is apparently interested in Freddie Ahai.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah, so they actually sign over there, so we'll see. And besides that, Gabe Sapolsky caught some heat on Twitter or whatever by trying to put out guidelines for fans in regards to GIF making and posting.
It's not much of a surprise because I think a number of the companies have GIF guidelines. I know some of them have made it particularly clear that if you're going to give something, don't give away the ending and tag the company. Some obviously don't care, but... Because, yeah, I follow Hulk King.
I understand not, like, gifting the endings, but a lot of stuff was, like, a little bit, like, out there. Because, like, he was starting to talk about, like, to limit the amount of time in the GIF or whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he was talking about moves or, like, how many moves per GIF or, like, how many seconds within the GIF. It was a whole bunch of, like, bullshit to me. It just seemed like, it was funny.
Yeah. You know,
so whatever. And then, I think Kevin Kelly had, subtweeted him, talking about, like, he didn't see the problem with GIFs, or whatever. It's, like, free advertising, blah, blah, blah. And then Gabe, they ended up having a back and forth, which resulted in Gabe, blocking him. So, yeah, so Kevin Kelly's now blocked by Soloski. Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Gabe.
What else? Apparently Triple H, he says he wants to face The Rock one more time. One more time.
Nobody wants that, Triple H. Your Mad Rock sucked.
You know what? See, you say nobody. People actually do want that.
All right. I don't know why these people want that. The only match I remember from the two of them is one of my least favorite matches of all time. I don't know why people think that some of those match pairings from the Attitude Era were actually good matches. I don't understand it at all. I don't want it. Amen. I don't know why somebody would want it.
Hey, man. But that nostalgia, though, man. The nostalgia. People love that shit.
Nostalgia in wrestling is a problem. You know, wrestling is an evolving beast because of the people. You can't really revisit it as well as movies or TV or comic books.
Right.
But because they get old, they change. I mean, some guys are still good, but The Rock is... The Rock isn't a wrestler anymore. He probably isn't going to be able to wrestle anymore or wrestle anywhere. I mean, he was never a great wrestler. He was just decent with a lot of charisma. He still has that charisma, but he's nowhere as movable, I guess. I guess Triple H is kept in shape in some way, shape. I can't see, like, do we remember some of Triple H's matches over the last few years? They're not that good.
Yeah, they're average at best.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a money payday, but nostalgia in wrestling is a pain in the fucking ass. I mean, every once in a while you get something special, like I guess when Hogan and The Rock wrestled, or Angle and Hogan, but you know, it was Hogan, so somehow, even though we all know Hogan is trash. But sometimes you do hit the marker, but a lot of times you don't.
Yeah. The Rock just stick
props to the Young Bucks for their weird Rock and Roll Express Young Buck shirt, where it has, not Express, one of the two, where it has the team, but it says Young Bucks on it instead, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good nostalgia type shirt, but yeah, that's my feeling.
And then, also speaking of The Rock, Tyrese is mad at The Rock. This whole shit is funny, because apparently the new Fast and Furious, yes, they're still making those, is being delayed to, like, what, 2020 or some shit?
Yeah.
And The Rock is getting the blame from Tyrese, because basically The Rock is too busy to focus on The Furious, whatever.
All this tells me is that Tyrese needs to get some new jobs.
Yeah, he needs some fucking work. If
like I like Tyrese in the movies. He's I would never want to see him go away. But you can do some of your shit in other movies. Why isn't anyone else hiring Tyrese? So why isn't anyone else hiring fucking Ludacris in movies? I don't get it.
Yeah, man. And Ludacris is a lot better than Tyrese, to be honest.
Yeah, he seems he can lean into more dramatic roles, but yeah, as far as Tom delivery going, I like Tyrese better.
Like, yeah. Ludacris did really well in Crash, and then there was one episode of Law & Order SVU that was so fucking, like really good for Ludacris. He should have been nominated for a fucking Emmy for that shit. That one was fucked up, because it was, like, I think he played, like, Ice-T's, nephew-in-law or some weird shit like that. Some really fucked up shit on that episode, but he played it to a T. But yeah, Tyrese need to get his shit together. The Rock got shit to do. He got Jumanji and Paige and all this other shit that's coming out eventually. So yeah. What else happened? And speaking of
I think this is real quick, real funny. There's a picture of Paige with Kairi Sane, right?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Kairi Sane's shirt?
Yeah, it was Topla's design.
Yeah, it was that Tabla girl. Yeah, the Osprey I'm Not a Cat shirt.
Yeah.
I like that shit. Alright.
They must
not be at the Performance Center.
Yeah, Xavier Woods and Up Up Down Down, they got their gold YouTube play button. You know, they get those play buttons for passing certain milestones or whatever, 500K or a million subscribers and all that shit like that. So congratulations to him. WrestleMania. They say that Conor McGregor is close to a deal to appear at WrestleMania. I don't know why. Whatever. I'm not a big fan of him. Ronda Rousey may eventually have a deal to appear at WrestleMania also. And her fucking husband is trying to tease that he may do something with WWE. And I hope to God he doesn't.
See, they gotta be fucking careful, because they can't be introducing so many MMA people, because that'll just start fucking them up like it fucked New Japan up for a period of time.
Right.
Speaking of, I'm going to look this up right here. Shayna Baszler was actually talking about MMA and professional wrestling, about how it has this bizarre habit of whitewashing, well, not whitewashing, but kind of ignoring that MMA is essentially grew out of professional wrestling and MMA's inability to accept that. Because I guess there was the anniversary of this guy, Cone Coma, was the pro wrestling nickname of Mitsuya Maeda, who was a catch wrestler, and I guess he was very important in training MMA wrestlers. And he's sort of forgotten in MMA history because it tries to act like they're better than professional wrestling.
Right.
So I thought that was a very interesting thing. Because Baszler is, I mean, like, I'm slightly okay with, because I know she's a wrestling fan, and Baszler's a hardcore wrestling fan, but these other MMA people, do we really need them if they're not, like, invested in professional wrestling?
Yeah, I feel like Travis, like, Brown would just be Triple Check.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. I don't think he's really into it. He never seemed like he was a big fan, like wrestling fan, like his wife. He just wants to he just collect a check. And one other thing with him, WWE should be careful dealing with him based on the allegations that he's had, like, past, because his ex-wife had accused him of domestic violence, even posted photos of, like, bruises and shit like that. So yeah. Can't mess with
that. Yeah, that's not good. And why not just bring in fucking Matt Riddle, for God's sakes? Or that Tom Lawler guy is apparently an MMA dude, too. Yeah.
Filthy Tom.
Or, I actually got around to listening to Jeff Cobb on Colt Cabana's thing last week. Mm-hmm. And he basically did like two tryouts for fucking WWE and never made it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, though he does admit that as far, because he didn't do that well in the Olympics, even though he went. He did say that technically that still meant that even though he was at the bottom of the Olympics, it still made him relatively better than most amateur wrestlers in the world because he had to get into the qualifiers and that. But yeah, he did his thing. He qualified. He may have not done well in the Olympics, but hey, he was still among the 20 or 22 best in the world. He did tried to get into Tough Enough. That didn't work. He did a tryout, and he thought he was going to get in, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But he ended up in Lucha Underground.
that's a thing. But Lucha Underground ended up helping him a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. He actually said that, if anything, because apparently a lot of promoters didn't realize when they booked him, he was the guy on Lucha Underground.
Really?
Yeah, he said that, if anything, Chris Hero probably helped get him a lot of bookings for a period of time.
Huh.
Because he said he would do shows, and the promoter was like, I didn't realize you were Matanza. He was like, no, we just happen to have the same exact moveset.
Oh, man.
He came off as a very chill guy. So, yeah. And props to him for his growing success. Oh, well, that reminds me. I totally forgot they should be him and Riddle should be in the tag league coming up.
Tag league, yeah.
I'm waiting on the announcements for that.
Yeah.
I actually like the tag league, even though it's not as hot on. It's still fun.
Yeah. All right. And more MMA, WWE type news or whatever. Gabby Garcia, TMZ had caught up to her. Apparently, she was asked about WWE. She said that she was interested in signing with WWE down the line after her MMA contract is up. I don't know what promotion she's still signed to, but I don't know who she is. She's the MMA fighter who has fought in promotions like Rizin. She's a Brazilian fighter, and if I could describe her look, she basically looks like China pre-plastic surgery. But basically bigger in every possible fucking way. So, yeah, fucking Gabby Garcia. So, she'd be a fucking monster in the WWE if they had. I remember, like, Alpha Female was supposed to, like, have, like, an actual MMA bout with her, like, in Japan. I don't know what ended up coming of that, but I don't think it went down, but I don't think it happened. Or maybe it will eventually down the line, but we'll see. And then also, Eric Bischoff basically calling Josh Barnett's color commentary trash, basically.
Yeah. I saw a little bit about that.
Yeah, he tried to play it all. They started doing this whole talk about, like, perspectives and, like, his, like, based on, like, Josh Barnett's background, he should be good at it, blah, 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 and all this other shit, and it was whatever, though. Like, Eric Bischoff, I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. I don't know. But, it was interesting.
At least it's not Disco Inferno, I guess.
Yeah.
Or Rusev.
Yeah, but it was interesting, this color commentary talk, because, like, JR eventually started talking about, commentary in the WWE, how much different it was from back then, as in now, you got, like, 20 producers in your ear directing you every which way, and back in the day, it wasn't as dramatic as it was these days. Yeah,
it does feel like sometimes when you're listening to WWE commentary where they're kind of tripping over each other to try and get whatever point out
right,
do whatever metaphor they need to do or allegory.
Yeah.
It is slightly annoying, but I mean, I don't think WWE has commentary in the world, but I don't think it's the best.
Yeah.
That's one of the advantages of Japanese wrestling commentaries you don't, you can just sort of lay back and it's just like good white noise while you're,
Don't need to know what's going on, just know that they're excited as shit.
You know, when they start chanting shit, you understand, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Lariato! Lariato!
Yeah.
They build with steam on theirs. That emotion translates.
Yeah, man, that shit's always dope. That's why I never switch to English commentary. I always get the regular Japanese. Yeah.
I've listened to the English commentary a few times. It's pretty good, and I know some people, Cyrus and Kelly, are the best English commentary right now compared to other American wrestling companies. And, you know, honestly, I still take Excalibur and Chuck Taylor because they're funny.
Yeah.
But I have no qualms. Other than, Cyrus is playing kind of an old school
heel
commentator. Heel yeah, and I mean, it works for him, especially if you listen to his podcast. And I mean, Kevin Kelly's good. Cyrus has history in the business, not just as a manager, but as a wrestler, which I never actually knew that until listening to him and Lance talk.
Huh.
But I still rather listen to the Japanese.
Yeah, and then what else happened? Samantha Rotunda, the estranged wife of Bray Wyatt, she apparently subpoenaed the WWE to release records of all Bray Wyatt's financials, his pay, advertising, all that other shit. Like, she's really trying to get as much as possible, because I guess, like, I don't know if he's hiding it from her or what. Of course, we know that she's divorcing. Well, he's divorced. I don't know who's divorcing who, but of course, JoJo Offerman is in the middle of it and whatnot. But apparently, they're making it hard for her. They're either like really trying to protect him, or it really will cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, like they claim, to facilitate gathering all of the documents related to him. So I don't know. They might be bullshitting, because I don't think it should be that hard to get that info, but it's funny.
If they can waste all that time and desist orders, they could probably get those financials pretty quickly.
Oh, most definitely. They got powerful-ass lawyers. They're going to make sure they stretch this shit out. They're going to make her work for it.
Yeah. I guess they only work for it if that means they might be protecting their money, and in this case, it's like, is not going through with this nonsense. Well, not nonsense. Not going with, through helping with the divorce.
Right.
Kids.
Does I don't think he has kids. Does he? I don't think so.
Buddy.
No, I don't think so.
He doesn't have kids. That makes it
no. He
easier.
Doesn't. I don't think he. No, he doesn't. I don't think he has kids at all. So I think he might be pretty on pretty good ground, actually.
All right. I'm a double check. There's this picture of him with a woman, and there's two kids.
I think that might be his sister. Something completely different. I think that might be his sister and her kids.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that's his sister and her kids.
All right. Oh, if that is true, then that's
because there was a point where like
they have two daughters.
Hi, really?
That's what I just checked with Wikipedia. That's what they say.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause I didn't know that.
Yeah. His relationship with his two daughters are gonna get pretty damaged.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. He must be fucked then.
Yeah, cause that is. Well, that definitely also means his ass is never leaving WWE. He's gonna do
definitely.
Every bad gimmick he has to keep making.
Yo, that child support's gonna be terrible, son.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know. The kids are really, really young. I'm looking at some pictures. So, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, he's fucked.
Cute family. Or was a cute family.
Was. Jesus. JoJo Offerman is younger than me. God. Shit.
Yeah.
She's like she's young. She's like 3 years younger than me. She's my brother's age.
Yeah, I thought she signed when she was like 18.
Yeah. Hold on, what the fuck? Bray Wyatt has 2 fucking kids and he's 30 years old.
So yeah, his ass is young too.
Jesus. Yeah, he's pretty young. Yeah, he had no business having them kids. I'm sorry. yeah, he fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think his brother has kids, but I know his brother's married.
Yeah, he's married to that like one arm wrestler girl that was signed to a developmental for a while and then eventually got released.
She's a former 8-time world arm wrestling champion.
Yeah. Arm wrestling. Oh man.
And she appeared on the Swedish version of the something called a Gladiator franchise, which I guess is like American Gladiator. Okay, yeah.
Well, she's a real estate agent now. That's always, you realize that's always like the route people end up taking. Like they're
Become sort of like trainers of some sort, physical trainers.
Like if you're not like a physical trainer or anything like that, you end up being a real estate broker or some.
Using that wrestling charisma, I bet you The Rock, if he was a real estate agent, would never not sell a house.
Yeah.
Women would just be falling over themselves to buy whatever he's selling.
Yeah. And then, what other news we got? Tommy Dreamer, House of Hardcore, they ended up striking a deal to air live events on Twitch. Yeah, so Twitch ending, and they're doing more, like, wrestling event type shit now.
Well, they have AAA Wrestle Circus. These motherfuckers are on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're doing more shit. So I knew they did because didn't they air Triple Mania on Twitch?
Yes.
Yeah.
In 2 different streams, too, and apparently the commentary on both of them was crap. I didn't watch it, but I was watching all the people talk about it, and the Lucha guys, like, I mean, they don't really seem to care much for the commentary in AAA, but they hated the English commentary, because apparently the guy, no one told the English commentators who was who and what was going on in the rules.
Terrible.
But apparently some of the Lucha commentators didn't even know the rules for some of the matches either.
Wow. That's terrible. Yeah.
But, you know, Triple Mania made a lot of money, and most of that went into Dr. Wagner's pocket for taking off his mask. I wonder, it's like, I get a third of whatever you make from this show. It's like, we made $9 million. Like, well, he's getting $3
million. Well, I'm getting
$3 million. Yeah, Doc Wagner Jr., the slyest motherfucker working in the business today. That's right, all you Lucha guys, if you can, hold the mask as long as possible and get that mask payday.
Yep. Alright. And then, other shit is going on. Oh, yeah, you heard about Teddy Hart, right?
That he's still wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think he is, like, semi-retired, but, like, now he's, like, wrestling a lot more these days. Because, like, he had matches with, like, Joey Janela and, like, JD Dunn or other guys and whatever, and he's still pulling out those big ass, crazy ass moves and shit. He's fucking 37 years old, still pulling out that dope shit.
Some people never lose it.
Yeah.
Oh, and that reminds me, because he's a buddy of Teddy Hart. Jack Evans isn't going to be able to wrestle in the States for a little while. It was a problem with his passport application, so he has to redo it.
Oh yeah, that's right. They said he filled out a wrong fucking form. That's
what yeah.
Out the wrong form. That's terrible. But like going back to Teddy Hart, apparently one thing to note is that like he's contemplating suing Rolling Stone, because specifically talking about his sexual assault case, which he was acquitted of, and them generally calling him a piece of shit. So
yeah, here's the thing: is you can't. Like, in publications and stuff, you can't, you know, really bring that up without saying acquitted. If he was acquitted, was acquitted. If they never went to trial, you had to put alleged. There's very specific language.
Right.
You were open to shit, and you would think that a place like Rolling Stone would know that.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't say that shit about fucking Sean Penn, because it would bankrupt them.
Oh,
Sean Penn fucking took... Was it Lee Daniels? He fucking took Lee Daniels to court for saying some shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And we know it's allegedly that Sean Penn did it. Allegedly Sean Penn beat the shit out of Madonna, but let's just be honest. One of those words doesn't really need to be there. Because that's one of those super open secrets. And almost all of his relationships have failed. I wonder about Robin Wright sometimes.
Shit. Who was Robin Wright with? I know she was with some other guy. Like a younger guy at some point.
Well, she probably deserves better. I mean, since she left him, her career actually seems to have kind of back.
Rebounded, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she was in one of the biggest hits this year, one of the biggest critically acclaimed hits this year, and she's on that one. Like, she got swole as fuck for Wonder Woman. I know you didn't see it, but she got real swole for that shit. Well, all the Amazons were so swole as shit, but still.
Yeah.
So she's looking real good right now. Okay, she apparently was married to a guy named Dane Witherspoon for a while. I don't know who the fuck that is. I wonder if he's related to... Nope, he's not. Apparently not related to Reese Witherspoon, so whatever.
She was with Ben Foster.
Oh, I vaguely remember. That's one of those actors that
He was Angel in that Last Stand X-Men movie. And he was also the Punisher. Remember the Punisher when he had all those piercings and shit?
That was the Thomas Jane one?
Yeah. And he was in Hell or High Water as the more loose cannon brother in that
And he was in the remake for 310 to Yuma, which I remember seeing. It's a good movie. I have the original.
Hell or High Water was a really good movie.
The one that recently came out. Actually, now he looks like he's aged. I remember for a good long time it didn't look like he aged at all.
Yeah.
But apparently now he's with Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. They're all Scientologists and shit. The fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't
Scientology will sue your ass, too. Let's be quiet here.
Hey, man, fuck them. Yo, apparently the leader of Scientology... His fucking wife went missing, and people didn't know. Like, I think she was like missing for like, I don't think people knew for like years that she was fucking missing. And I think one of her family members or something like that, like, and mysteriously, but allegedly, actually just got shot like 4 times in the chest and shit. It's some weird fucked up shit in Scientology, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to Meanie. Like, she's really trying to air out everybody. I think she got an Emmy for one of her docs, too.
Yeah, Scientology is a terrible, terrible blight upon the world. Well, the United States. I don't know how far they stretch. But there's a lot of blights on the world, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I mentioned Robin Wright. Like, she was in fucking... what was that movie that I just saw? Fucking... Blade Runner 2049. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Yeah,
I actually enjoyed that movie. It was long as shit, but I got it. I got it.
See, I couldn't find the enthusiasm to see it because the original Blade Runner is kind of a whatever film to me. It's a really nice movie, and I like Rutger Hauer, but it's not... I don't have that appreciation of it that people my age generally have for that movie. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to see it when it comes out. Yo, I was just like, yeah, I'm watching a horror movie every day. I'm not leaving my house unless I really, really, really want to see a fucking film.
Yeah. If I could describe the first Blade Runner, it's like sci-fi art house movie. That's the word to me.
And there's like several different cuts to the movie. The original has the really bad Harrison Ford narration through the film, because apparently the studio thought that people were idiots. Harrison didn't want to do it, so he made it as bad as possible.
See, narration, that's one thing that's part of noir, right? So, like, it kind of made sense that narrate shit like that, but...
I think it's really only part of noir if you read books. And a lot of times, in a lot of the noir movies, they don't really utilize it. I guess it sort of depends. Like, most of the noir films I've seen, they never did it, but a few, like, at least one of the books I read, which inspired the famous noir movies, yeah, he was narrating the story.
Yeah.
I never saw the movie version of it, though, so I don't know if it's like that in the film.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, because they filmed it without her, and then they went and did the narration, and then they cut the narration out in future releases, and then they added this, that, whatever. It's a beautiful film with great performances. I just don't care.
All right, man.
But yeah, I'll see this one eventually when it comes out, and then I'll just be exasperated by Jared Leto's existence. But you know,
Jared Leto was like the most over the top part of that new.
Yeah, for a guy who was trying to be a very serious character actor, he's become a very exaggerated. Actor.
Right.
A very terrible exaggerator. I mean, not terrible actor, but too exaggerated.
He's too exaggerated.
He's the calm
not,
fuck
not
down.
Not Nicolas Cage levels of exaggeration, though. We'll use that. Because no one can top him.
No one. I can't remember the last time I saw a new Nicolas Cage movie. Might have been the first Kick-Ass. Might have been the last time I saw him in a movie in theaters.
Yeah. That I think that was for me, too. Yeah, that was the last time.
Though there are some pretty good clips of him in Death of Superman Lives, the documentary.
Oh, I've only seen bits and pieces of that documentary.
Yeah, they showed him and Tim Burton talking when they were doing behind the scene footage, and you can hear him talk about how he thinks Clark, when they're trying out different looks for Clark Kent,
yeah,
or they go through different stages with the costume. He actually. One of the later costumes, which a lot of people never saw, he actually looked okay, and some of the early costumes were crap. But it's interesting to see the amount of enthusiasm he has for that project at the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that documentary is pretty good. Though I would have loved that they got Kevin Smith and Tim Burton in the same room, because Tim Burton hates Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith talks a lot of trash about Tim Burton.
Oh, wow.
Because the story was that... I'm sorry for every wrestling fan, but yeah, we're going through this shit. That Smith, when he wrote, was working on the script, he suggested Tim Burton, and they pulled in Tim Burton, and Tim Burton read the script and said, I don't want Kevin Smith on this film.
What the fuck?
Tim got called because of Kevin Smith, and then he got Kevin Smith kicked off. And it started a kind of a silly little feud.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm trying to figure out how to switch this over to wrestling from Tim Burton and Kevin Smith, but I'm having a hard time. I got it. Tim Burton directed, which featured an actor who was a wrestler. Bam.
Oh shit! What was that? That was what's it? George the Animal Steel.
Yeah. See? Did it again.
Yeah. That's right.
Good movie. Cool performance. R.I.P. to Martin Landau.
And speaking of wacky wrestling characters like George the Animal Steel. Santino Marella. This is my last piece of news, but it's like one of the bigger ones I got. He won a bronze medal in judo in a judo competition. He said it was his first one in a while, in like some years. And but that wasn't the end of his weekend. He ended up in a heated argument with Jim Cornette in Detroit. Like, there was a convention that went down, and somebody videotaped it from across the room. Cornette could be heard saying, "You're a joke," and "Get the fuck out of my get the fuck away from me," and all this other shit like that. If you recall, there was with the two of them in developmental back in the day.
Yeah,
that went down, and yeah, it was a big fucking mess. But Cornette ended up leaving the convention early due to this exchange or whatever, and he had to apologize to people and all their dumb shit. whatever. But
well,
like,
did you hear about that thing about him flashing his penis?
Yes, he apparently, like, Bruce Pritchard had a live show and got on stage with Bruce Pritchard and flashed his fucking dick to the crowd. Which I'm pretty sure is fucking illegal.
Yeah.
That's fucking...
And it's fucking stupid for a guy who complains about freaking Joey Ryan all the time.
That's fucking indecent exposure. Christ. But yeah, that shit is fucking terrible. But, I got time. I think we, how much time we got here? We got some time. Do we have any cards? Do we have any cards for the weekend?
Yeah, I actually have a few, but I wanted to go real quick back to Edwood because I looked up the guy he played. It was Tor Johnson, who himself was a professional wrestler in the movie Ed Wood. He was known as the Super Swedish Angel. He won one of the NWA titles,
at one time. Yeah, I remember.
And apparently there's a scene in the original Mad Max movie where Mad Max puts on a Tor Johnson mask to cheer up his wife.
Huh.
So he was actually, because he became an actor afterward, so he was kind of a known figure. So not only did we switch it back to George the Animal Steel, but George the Animal Steel was actually playing a real returned actor.
Yeah.
So I wanted to point that out because, you know,
we're
a wrestling show, so
yeah.
Got to throw that out there. But there are a lot of shows. I have the Ring of Honor shows out because those are the big ones. I know AAW is doing their tournament this weekend, I believe, which is the Memorial Tournament, the Jim Lyman Memorial. I think, if I remember right, Jim Lyman died last year.
Yeah. One thing, I was trying to talk about time because Santino, Anthony Carelli, of course, he issued a statement on Live Audio Wrestling Fight Network in response to what went down with Jim Cornette, and it's very... So, I'm gonna break that one down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna read the whole thing, but because it was long as shit. He was just talking about how he's not gonna bullshit people. One thing he noted, he said, 12 years ago, I moved to Louisville to train at OVW. After a month of beginner's class, I was invited to intermediate class where I would train with the legendary Rip Rogers. That time, I was also invited to come and watch an OVW taping. Upon arrival to my first ever TV, I was told I could sit at the student area in the audience. Keep in mind, I'm with my daughter and simply a member of the audience, or so I thought. Show starts, it's great, and then there's the debut of the Boogeyman, who is supposed to leave the arena through an emergency door directly behind us, and gave me the 401. So as the Boogeyman was leaving, he turned right towards us, and I thought he was going to do me a solid and scare my dogs, creating a memory that would never forget. So as a dad, I was pretty stoked, and yes, I was definitely smiling. The Boogeyman then jars the guardrail. We all run, and he exits out the door. It's all on YouTube if you care to see it. Actually, I encourage one to do so. See for yourself that I'm not laughing. Hence, BS number one. There was never any agenda to the whole thing. I wasn't trying to be anything than a fan. I was a part of the show. Heck, it was my first time there for a show. Gosh, when I look back now, I was so green to everything, but I was definitely enjoying a pro wrestling show with the rest of the audience, the eagerness, the learning, the dedication. They're all fond memories. Yeah, he also talked about how, like, Cornette, like, exaggerated how many times he slapped him up. what else happened? Yeah, he felt like how... Like, he just talked about how bad it was after the fact of the aftermath of it. And he was just thanking, he thanked Johnny Ace for eventually taking a chance on him. Even though Johnny Ace had no idea what had happened in OVW and whatnot. And he also talked about how Jim Cornette has always had it out for him since he had gotten fired, the lapping incident, and all that. And yeah, man, it's just he just goes on for a while, and then there was a time I remember Jim Cornette had said some statement about, like, because, like, the reason that Santino had to retire was because he had neck injuries. And
yeah.
Cornette had made comments, like, snide comments about him. It's like basically saying good that he fucking retired and he fucked up his neck. Which is really fucked up, man. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, Cornette's become so fucking bitter in his way. And listen, I think Santino would beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So he's really walking away lucky, in a sense. I mean, a lot of these guys can beat up these guys talking all this trash.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that Jim Cornette always looked down on him because Santino was a comedy wrestler. But Santino had no regrets about being a comedy wrestler. He enjoyed it. He enjoyed the fact that he was able to make people laugh. But yeah, he just keeps talking about how he just keeps talking about in the statement how Jim Cornette just an old bitter man can't even fish. I don't know how that tied to it, but it did. And basically how Jim Cornette, in the grand scheme of things, he really didn't make that much of a difference in wrestling and all that. Just a whole bunch of shit.
I mean, whatever his influence is on wrestling has kind of somewhat, like a lot of wrestlers, kind of disappeared. And because of his attitude, it's kind of getting harder for people to go back and look. Because there are guys who, you know, their influences have kind of disappeared, but they were never as outspokenly evil. Not evil, outspokenly bad like Cornette. Or they, you know, they maintain a very pleasant attitude throughout. Bruno Sammartino doesn't like a lot of today's wrestling. Bruno Sammartino doesn't really talk too much about it. He'll give you his opinion, but he's not trying to be an asshole. So we still respect him. Or who the guy who passed recently, Lance Russell. Yeah. I mean, we're talking fondly about a guy a lot of us don't know, but he wasn't a guy who spent the last of his life just shitting on wrestling.
Yeah.
So people are interested in going back and looking at him and finding out what made him great. Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck now.
Yeah, so when Jim Cornette dies, they're not going to look fondly about, like, fucking Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Well, some people are because they're diehard, like, Southern wrestling fans or whatnot. But
or they worked for him at one time, because apparently he tried to pay.
But a lot of people are going to look back at his fucking rants more than his contribution to wrestling in, like, the 80s and early 90s and shit. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're already sort of kind of doing Disco Inferno to a lesser degree.
Right.
Because Disco Inferno was actually a pretty decent wrestler who had some pretty decent stuff going on in WCW. I admit, I liked Disco when he was liked him teaming up with Alex Wright briefly as the Boogie Knights. But now it's sort of like, you know what? Fuck Disco Inferno's bitch ass. And I experienced watching him. I can't imagine what other people are like. Who's like, who the fuck is Disco Inferno? It's like, he was a good WCW wrestler. I don't care, because fuck with that shit he said about these female wrestlers or this wrestler here. He's a bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, part of having unless your ass is like a Hulk Hogan or Rick Adozin or Bruno Sammartino, unless your legacy is something like that, you can be forgotten from professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And if you're a complete asshole where that becomes your legacy, they want to forget you. They don't want to talk about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reality, for a lot of people, at least 5 or 6 years younger than us, they know Jim Cornette first from that video of him but hassling the drive-thru person. You remember that video?
Yeah, yeah. I think
he was high. Yeah. Fuck that shit. All right. I'm ready for the cards if you want to do those.
Nope, I've still got more talk about Santino.
Okay.
This actually involves the actual event that went down at the convention. He said, fast forward to Cobble Center in Detroit. last Saturday, and his table is just two tables down from mine. So I know at some point we will have a chance to meet as and actually meet for the first time, since I don't consider our first interaction an actual meeting, because no greetings and pleasantries were exchanged, etc. As I'm heading back down the hallway after I got a bite to eat, it's Jim and I walking straight one another and no one is around. What a perfect opportunity to talk it over and hopefully hash things out. I say, "Hello, sir," and I extend my hand to shake hands. After all, why not? Pieces better than enemies, right? It's funny, he looks shocked to hear my real voice, LOL, Mark. He then proceeds to try to tell me about what happened 12 years ago, like I wasn't there, LOL, insults me, disrespects me, and then tries to walk away. I remember being this how poorly he was dressed that day. He made no effort at all to make himself presentable to meet his visibly dirty clothing and in poor health. I actually felt bad for him until he decided to be a piece of garbage once again. I said to him that I was hoping we could walk away from this with a newfound respect for one another after possibly talking it out, and I always really not learning from him. I always hope for the best in people like my mom. He laughed and said that he had no respect for me, called me a joke, he should slap me again. That's when I said, I said to myself, fuck this guy, there's no way in hell he's going to punk me off after what he did all those years ago. So I said, do it, please, slap me again and see what happens. Trust me, Jim, it was not so that I could sue you. That's what you see in the video. Me cutting him off and saying, do it again, do it then. You can't make a claim like that and then walk away, at least not where I'm from. It was at that I saw his true colors. He tried to run away and actually cried out for security. I guess his wrestling instincts kicked in, because he was a classic heel, a brave guy when backup is around, but when it's just him and the babyface alone at the end, he begged off. What happened to slap me the next time you saw me, Jim? Then when he saw a fan and or security personnel, his mock bravery started to kick in. He started to put on a show. Cornette, he was a complete bitch, as I expected he could. He would be. If it ended up going down this way, and when it was just the two of us nose to nose, quite frankly, a coward. And believe you me, I called him those exact words to his face, coward and bitch, and all he did was turn around turn another shade of red. He knows in his heart that I saw it in his eyes. He can never say anything about it again because he died after shooting his mouth off, so that's BS number shit, I lost count. He also said publicly that he decided to leave. We all know he was kicked out, escorted out, in fact. Taken out like the trash that he is, so don't forget to add another one to the BS list. It was the perfect ending. The bully got what he deserved in the end. And then he says sorry to the fans who came out to the convention and all this other shit. So, yeah, man. That exchange was very interesting. Wow.
Well, one of these days, Jim Cornette's going to slip up, get the shit knocked out of him, and then start crying and suing people.
Yeah. But one thing that, like, stuck out to me was that how disheveled he looked, like, going to a convention. You know? Like, for somebody who touched shit, you'd think that he'd look presentable, like, when he's going out in public and shit. Like, I think, I don't know if he was at the MC Dunn's show that was, like, some weeks ago, but I wonder if how disheveled he looked then.
Yeah, I mean, he's not even trying anymore.
Yeah, that's terrible, man, but, like, to come out with a dirty-ass t-shirt, like, come on, dude. Like, he looked like every other fucking, like, shitty, annoying, like, white dude wrestling feet at, like, local shows. You know? Like, come on now. I don't know. yeah. Fuck Jim Cornette. Hey.
Yeah.
NXT has fucking Velveteen Dream versus Leo Rush. It's fitting that two former tag team partners would be facing for the first time in NXT. Dope shit. But yeah, so cards of the weekend. Got that shit?
Alright, I'm just important card. So yeah, the Jim Lyman Memorial Special at AAW starts Friday night. 16-man, 2-day tournament. Winner ends a shot at the main title. Round one has Pentagon Jr., Dark Pentagon, Penta Elam, versus Michael Elgin. We have Andrew Everett versus Zema Ion, Desmond Xavier versus AR Fox, Mark Haskins versus Eddie Kingston, Sammy Callahan versus Matt Fidget, ACH versus Curt Stallion, Zachary Wentz versus Jack Myron, Reed versus Brian Cage. Curt Stallion and Myron Reed are two of Michael Elgin's trainees. They're the ones that seem to be the ones that are getting some good bookings. Yeah. The show will also feature Ray Phoenix defending his title against Trevor Lee. And Matt Riddle and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Shane Strickland and Keith Lee. Alright. And then, of course, night two will have the rest of the tournament, but they've also will have Teddy Hart there. So there's that. And a six-way mayhem match with Paco and Davey Vega already announced. Paco is another one of these. They're all in that around those cities, too. So there's that. Then we have the four ROH shows. The first one's going to be happening about the time this show drops, so might be a little late with this one. We have a Women of Honor match. Ring of Honor will be in Buffalo. Mandy Leon versus Jenny. We have the Dogs, Big Dog, Rhett Titus and Will Ferreira versus Coast to Coast, LSG and Shaheem Ali. Adam Page versus Kushida. Chaos Team of Yoshihashi and Toriano versus Marty Scurll and Cody. Frankie Kazarian versus Jay Lethal, Christopher Daniels versus Hiromu Tanahashi, The Kingdom versus Bullet Club members Kenny Omega and Young Bucks, Ospreay versus Punishment Martinez, and Suzuki and the KES taking on. Well, who they're taking on? I guess. Their stupid ass fucking site didn't make the fonts all the same damn size. Okay, wow. They're taking on Mark Briscoe and the War Machine. That's some stupid ass. Font shit right there. All right, the next night they will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We got ourselves official. Britt Baker will be there in action. We have a Proving Ground instant reward match or ROH World match. I don't understand what that means. Sure, but it has Punishment Martinez, Adam Page, Josh Woods, Matt Taven, and Shida, and then I guess Kenny King too. Mark Briscoe versus Hiromu Takahashi, Jay White versus Jay Lethal. There's three different Jays in Ring of Honor. Weird. Brent taking on the Addiction. We have Silas Young versus Minoru Suzuki. Another screwed up font has Keller Elite Squad versus War Machine. Triple threat match for the World Tag Team Championship. The champions, Motor City Machine Guns versus the Young Bucks versus the Kingdom team of Vinny Marcella and TK O'Ryan. Then Bullet Club of Cody, Kenny, Luxury Trio of the Bullet Club taking on Ospreay, Yoshihashi, and Toriano. Next on, I guess this is Saturday, they will be in Columbus, Ohio. Officially signed, Holly Dead versus Sumi Sayaki. Josh the Good Woods. What the fuck kind of name is that? Versus Shane Taylor. Six-man tag champion Adam Page and the villain Marty Scurll versus ROH World Television Champion Kenny Omega and Mark Briscoe. Silas City Bruiser versus Motor City Machine Guns. We got Jay Lethal versus Hiromu Takahashi. The Addiction versus Search and Destroy. The other teammates of Motor City Machine Guns, which are Jonathan Gershom and Jay White. Search and Destroy, whatever. Suzuki Gun with, Suzuki and KES versus Chaos, Ospreay, Yoshihashi, Toriano. We have Omega and the Young Bucks taking on Flip Gordon who said some shit online about how players need to stand up for the anthem and not pull that shit in front of him. Yeah. So Flip Gordon will be teaming up with the Best Friends. It'll be against Omega and the Young Bucks, the Elite. The champion, Cody, defending the title against Kushida. And then the last show is in Chicago, which has Silas Young and Beer City Bruiser versus the Best Friends. Toru Yano versus Colt Cabana, after Cabana joked on Twitter that he should be wrestling Toru Yano just because, and the internet made that happen. So, so that's going to be a comedy match, obviously. Junior heavyweight champ. Oh, he's no longer junior heavyweight champion. Okay, teaming up with Cheeseburger to take on the Addiction.
Yeah.
We have Jay Lethal, Mark Briscoe, and Kenny King versus the Suzuki Gun Team, Suzuki and K. Flip Gordon versus Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay, who is the junior champion. The villain, Marty Scurll versus Rumo Takahashi. We got U.S. title match, the second defense. So Kenny Omega defends against Yoshihashi. And we got in the main event, Bullet Club team of Cody and the six-man champions, Adam Page and the Young Bucks, who I believe they're called the Hung Bucks, taking on the Search and Destroy team of Motor City Machine Guns, Jonathan Gresham, and Jay White. And then, as I said earlier, if you're in the Chicago area, they'll be doing the Pro Wrestling Tees, one-hour tees signing the next night. Some of the ROH dudes, Bullet Club dudes will. And that is the cards for the weekend, I feel like, looking up.
It looks like that's it. We don't have anything else to talk about?
Nope. I get to watch my horror movie, which tonight I am watching The City, or The House by the Cemetery, which is the third part of some trilogy, which has been just okay.
Nice. Mm. I still need to watch, because I'm trying to watch that animated prequel to Men. That's like a
horror. Yeah, I still need to watch that movie.
It's a horror anime thing. And then, what else? Flying Lotus's movie called Kuso fucked up. Flying Lotus has a fucking horror movie out. Flying Lotus, of all people.
So, yeah, there are a lot of horror movies and a bunch of horror movies I need to watch. And obviously, primetime TV, because Riverdale's back tonight.
Yeah. Hey! I still need to catch up, because I missed Flash last night.
Flash was pretty good. Legends of Tomorrow was good, too.
Yeah, I need to check that out, too. And then I want to see the second episode of that show. First episode seemed weird to me.
Yeah, the second episode had a better structure to it.
Yeah, because I felt like the first episode was okay, but like there were like parts in it that looked like they were missing parts. They chopped parts off of the episode.
And they probably refilmed parts too.
Like they cut stuff out in because it just felt weird.
Yeah, I mean the second episode's okay. I'm getting time. It hasn't, like some of the other new shows that have popped off really well, like The Orville or Gifted, have come on really strong for new shows.
Oh, I love The Gifted one.
That one's definitely really leaning into the classic X-Men ideology.
Yeah,
and it really does feel like part of the X universe, and they can do it without any of the X-Men characters. Though, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rogue somewhere down the line, simply because Stephen Moyer is married to Anna Paquin.
All right.
So, I'm hoping they can at least exploit that, because that would be pretty
cool.
Nice thing.
Yeah.
And the guy who's running the show is the runner from Birth Notice, so that's why Kobe Bell is the one bad guy, but then the mom from Burn Notice was in the recent episode, too.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wondering if he can pull in Bruce Campbell somewhere down the line, which would be a nice thing. Actually, now that I think about it, the scientist at the end of episode 2 did several episodes of Burn Notice as well.
Garrett Dillahunt?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a ton of shit, but I just remember he was also in Burn Notice, too.
Shit, he's in that new show called The Guest Book. On TBS, he plays a doctor in that show.
And he can swing between drama and comedy pretty well too.
I remember him in Looper. He got fucking murked in Looper.
Yeah. Yes. A validated, reliable actor who should be doing a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
I bet you in like 5 years he's going to hit a random ass movie and get an Oscar nod. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
The dude from all that stuff.
Yeah. I liked him in Raising Hope, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, I've only seen a few episodes, but he was funny.
That was a good show.
It's, but yeah, so far the shows have been pretty good. Looking forward to Arrow.
Lucifer has been good, too.
Yes, Lucifer has been good. I know you don't watch Supergirl, but that first episode was alright. But of the CW superhero shows, I think Flash might have been slightly the best, but I really liked Arrow 2 was real fun. Because I like those actors together. They're really fun together. Alright, but Flux. Okay, I'm on Instagram somewhere. Westside period goth, and I am also on Twitter at @CMTowns. Yeah, it's really only places you need to find me.
Alright, yeah, so of course, you can listen to us at rantemradio.com. Of course, they have their Twitter, Rantem Radio. We are episodes air on Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also listen to the Rant Freaks and the Geeks, Book of Throwbacks, yada, yada, yada. Of course, you can listen to episodes archived on the archive tab, obviously. And for me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, Doomsday on Twitter, doomsdayspace519 on YouTube is my primary channel. Secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and @joydoomsday519 on Snapchat. Yeah, that's it. And just off on a high note. Hey, 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 hey.
Bam! Bam!